If everyone had all the money in the world and everybody's budgets were just so heavy that they could just invest, 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 we wouldn't be where we are right now. So, one of the things that I think we pride ourselves on is working with our clients on finding the best approach forward from a financial and budgeting standpoint.
Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. On this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. So I'm here today with Jason Tyler, Market Lead, Eastern New York Branch of Stark Tech, a new member of the Adirondack Chamber. So I wanted to get to know him a little bit better. So hello, Jason.
Anne, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Tell me a little bit about Stark Tech. I haven't got to meet you before, so I'm excited to learn about this company.
Yeah, so Stark Tech is an established kind of player in the market of controls integration. And interestingly enough, Stark Tech had acquired our office in Balsam Spa, New York, which was formerly known as Technical Building Services. So Stark Tech was, or I'm sorry, Technical Building Services was founded back in 1981, primarily as a temperature control mechanical service company. And really they were known on, not only reliability, technical experience, and just the overall servicing the community of the Eastern New York region, and we'll say over to the Central New York region. But interestingly, in 2021, Stark Tech had acquired Technical Building Services to not only to utilize their existing services and what they had built over their 40-year time period, but also expand their capability. So now we are not only just offering energy solutions, building systems integrations, services and maintenance, but our company is expanding and rapidly growing. We're just getting on the cusp of over 1,000 employees, 16 offices throughout New York State. And now we're operating out, not just in New York State, but also in other states like Florida, Massachusetts, Georgia, New Jersey, and forever expanding.
So when did they take over in this region?
So they took over in 2021.
So, and you were with the previous company, or did you just join more recently?
Yeah, so I just joined less than about 3.5 years ago. I was with the former company of Technical Building Services on the service side, but I left and worked for a property management company, one of which the centers were in the Queensbury, New York area, which was Pyramid Management Group. So, at the time I was coming out of COVID, obviously COVID hit a lot of the region pretty hard. And the real estate world was not going in the right direction with the way COVID hit. So I was looking for a change. And as Stark was expanding, I was looking to also expand.
So tell us a little bit about what else you did before you got into this business.
So primarily my background kind of stems around hospitality, real estate, property management. I've been doing that for roughly about 10, 15 years, not only managing, we'll say, small mixed-use facilities, but also commercial facilities, office buildings, up to shopping centers. Not to say that property management is a great business to be in, but, one of the things I think I was looking for that was lacking was, a true mission and purpose behind what I was doing. Don't get me wrong, projects are projects, but it's nice to see that the fruit of the fruit and labor of the projects that you support. Mm-hmm. And I think, overall, what we're doing now is making an impact in not only the local community, but obviously throughout the state.
So now what type are you working in, commercial and residential clients?
It's a great question. So we are primarily commercial based. We work with small businesses to large scale businesses who have multiple buildings down to a singular business. And we really can help in multiple different ways. We do a lot of work in the K-12 schools within the region. I think we're upwards of, 600 plus schools that we support throughout the New York State region right now. But we also, you know, help, we'll say the hospitality world, healthcare, and, you know, we're broadening each day of businesses and entities we support. But I think, you know, with what we do, you know, especially in the K through 12 school market, it's, I think it's very important. And, you know, my kids are young. I have a 5 and an 8 year old. So it's important to make sure that we are forever expanding the capabilities in these schools to make it comfortable for the kids that go to them and provide that learning environment.
So tell me some more about the benefits of what you do.
So I think the biggest thing, especially in New York State currently with the varying, I guess, challenges that we're all facing right now from an energy perspective, is finding ways to be more efficient in how we manage buildings, but also ensure that we're being, we'll say, impactful with the processes and systems that we set up to help those buildings, not only for, let's just say, the staff that support them, but also the energy that they use. And I know with New York State and obviously throughout the country with rising energy costs, building owners need to find a best approach way to solve those issues and try to reduce their overall cost so they can manage these buildings. Because let's put it bluntly, the state isn't necessarily making it easier to manage a building these days.
Well, it's a huge part of a budget, the energy costs. So as much as they can reduce that, and also if it's better for the environment, that's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So if someone's thinking of working with you, what would be the first steps?
I think identifying what they're looking to do. You know, we can assist from the beginning of a project for, let's say, you're looking for specific equipment. We can help on that front. Building automation systems are very broad. So at the end of the day, they're pretty basic. They turn things on, they turn it off, they start it, they stop it. So really identifying what our customers are looking to do, what solutions they're looking for, what problems they're looking to solve. And then we can find solutions to match those.
It's always good to start with people's problems that you can solve.
I agree.
And so you come in, do an assessment of what they currently have, and then provide suggestions?
Yes. So typically, you know, depending on the building and the customer they're working on, obviously an industrial facility is very different from, say, a small proprietor business, and finding ways to either make sure their spaces are comfortable, energy efficient. So we can obviously help in multiple different facets, and each customer is different. You know, there's certain customers that are looking for a specific thing, and then obviously customers or clients that are looking for, you know, Q&A, what's going to be the best approach to this problem that I have. Not each, we'll say, problem is the same, and each problem comes with their unique set of circumstances. But one of the things that we can be laser focused on is finding the best approach forward, and try to utilize, you know, the decades of experience that not only, you know, myself and our team within the company have to find the best approach forward.
So you work with a wide range of businesses and industries. So I assume that the issues vary. So like a business that has huge amounts of refrigeration would have a big issue in that area versus an office that would have like office equipment. And so do you find that that is a challenge in your business?
I think the biggest challenge is, you know, the industry right now. For, we'll say, the greater public in these buildings, the industry as a whole keeps changing. So for business owners and facility managers and people who operate these buildings and these facilities, the industry, the regulatory arm, is forever changing. So, you know, our clients lean on us to find ways to approach some of these challenging and complex situations to find the best, like I said, path forward. But, you know, to your point about refrigeration, one of the things that we're dealing with right now is a big refrigerant change. The industry has kind of changed to a new refrigerant. And now you have manufacturers that are trying to get all that new equipment with the new refrigerant out into the market. But obviously, from a building perspective, that the cost is there, the lead time is there. As a company, we're trying to kind of weather that storm for our client base to try to find the best equipment that gets them their needs as quickly as, we'll say, reasonably as possible, while trying to keep our pricing competitive and be that strong partner in the market.
Do you find that, like, as a consultant,
I find it sometimes it's a hard sell to people that they need to pay me to like add to their budget in mm-hmm. order to then gain more revenue or savings from what I'm telling them. Do you find that as a challenge in what you do?
I always say that if everyone had all the money in the world and everybody's budgets were just so heavy that they could just invest, we wouldn't be where we are right now. So, you know, one of the things that I think we pride ourselves on is working with our clients on finding the best approach forward from a financial and budgeting standpoint. You know, especially coming from my background, a lot of the, say, CapEx and OpEx plans that I have put forward, you know, I constantly looked for, let's say, a company like Stark Tech to kind of work with me to develop some plans to phase out aging equipment, integrate some new solutions mm-hmm. that are going to eliminate some costly energy and find ways to cut costs. And I'm bringing that experience forward, have my background with our existing client base, because I think if, you know, if we have a best plan approach, a best solution forward, we can budget, we can get to the finish line easier planning wise than if it's just a matter of us just providing numbers to provide numbers. Because I think, you know, the days of just giving a number to an individual is different than providing that value and providing that person that's going to be there long term.
Yeah. Now, do you look at mainly like electrical energy, or are you also dealing with like gas, like, you know, the combination?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have building automation systems that just mainly focus on the mechanical equipment that serves within the building. But obviously within New York State now, with grid resiliency and the need for finding a way to, let's say, lower carbon footprint and reduce electrical usage and cost, we also have systems that manage the energy that actually comes into your building. So you can actually see that in real time, your usage outside of, let's say, a utility bill that you would get every month. Certain equipment would gain you visibility to the usage. Let's say bad power coming in could even be bad power within that facility that you're looking to identify to try to make, you know, your overall building system more efficient. The good thing is that no matter what the solution or system that we use, there's always, a unique approach to implement it. So we kind of look at ourselves as master integrators. We can, mm-hmm. you know, walk into a building and find what system is going to best suit that building and that customer.
And do you work with new build as well as existing premises?
Absolutely. I think new build is one of the, let's say, more easier approaches, because we're going in with a new footprint rather than an existing footprint. And obviously with all the new buildings that exist within the state, there's always work to be had. Obviously the older buildings cost more than, let's say, the newer side. But I think, you know, overall, what we're trying to do as a collective within the organization is put our best foot forward for not only as an organization to make an impact on the communities that we reside in, but also try to deliver with some of the goals that the state and the regulatory arms are striving to.
That was going to be one of my questions too, about you'd need to be keeping up on all the any changes in regulations. Because I know they're looking at limiting the use of gas energy.
Correct.
Because I love my gas stove.
Yeah, it's an interesting world we live in, especially as we talk, and we're all, I'm assuming you live in the North Country, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know, the North Country, I'm originally from a larger city. So coming into the North Country and seeing some of the challenges and problems that exist in the North Country, you know, do I personally agree that, you know, eliminating propane would be the best path forward? Not personally, but again, I don't operate the state and I don't decide those initiatives. But, you know, I think as an organization and in my current role, there's ways to find a best path forward and find what makes sense for certain buildings. And I think, you know, not only the K-12 schools are going to be a challenge, especially in the North Country with that mandate, because let's face it, you know, with the grid and gas as a whole, we're coming into winter. We're going to need those facilities heated. And, you know, if it's not electric, it's going to be gas. And if it's not gas, it's going to be electric. So how do we find the most economical solution that's going to provide those systems to be functional in a moment of need? And, you know, not to say that electric is the end all be all, but we need to make sure we're forever expanding upon that.
So what sort of things do you find are the biggest offenders when it comes to overuse of energy that people might not realize?
I would say mainly your heating and cooling systems. You know, if you're not managing your heating and cooling systems to, I guess, you know, not that one individual, let's say in an office building that's forever cold and needs a space heater and needs the space.
Yeah, right.
80 degrees. Those, you know, those individuals exist, not hating on anybody that, you know, sits with a space heater under their desk because you got to stay warm. But, you know, if you've got a system that's, you know, running constantly, obviously that energy is, you know, forever running. So you're going to see that on your energy spend or your energy usage. But I think, you know, our industry, or at least the world we live in, is more based on computing. So we're utilizing more electrical capacity than I think we ever have.
Yeah. People don't realize the effect that has on energy.
Correct. It's, you know, we think of our computer or our cell phone as just a singular device that we utilize, you know, plug it into our, you know, power station at our desk or power our computer. But, you know, you look 5-10 years ago, we weren't solely reliant on our cell phones and laptops and devices as much as we were. So that does, you know, when you're plugging that in, that affects the usage of the building. If you're plugging in multiple laptops, that's affecting yeah. the same thing.
There's been a lot in the news about how much energy data centers take up.
Correct.
And what the impact is on the environment, because people think it's clean, but there's energy needed in order to run all these servers. So, you know, it's the same thing in with businesses.
I agree. And, you know, especially the region that we operate in has its own challenges. You know, there's certain areas of the North Country that have limited capacity from electrical standpoint. So, you know, how do we increase capacity without losing resiliency and, you know, try to reduce our overall outage count? You know, obviously there's going to be power outages. We can't, you know, as people in our areas, we can't really affect that. But how do we find ways to reduce so we provide that added capacity to the areas that need it? And, you know, we work with National Grid, we work with NYSERDA on, you know, utilizing programs for our clients that are going to suit their needs. But, you know, the good thing about our organization and the people within it is we're constantly working with, let's say, National Grid, we're constantly working with NYSERDA to develop and implement programs and initiatives that they are rolling out to find the, you know, the best solution for that particular client to, you know, reduce that energy spend and find the best way to provide that resiliency for the building as well.
Yeah.
Because not only does the grid need resiliency, but these buildings also need it too.
Yeah. And so you're the Eastern New York branch lead. How big of, like, because Eastern New York, you could go all the way down to Hudson. Are you working in Hudson Valley as well as the North Country?
So my area covers all the way up to the Canadian border down to Westchester County.
Well, you are dealing with a huge region.
Correct, correct. And, you know, as an organization, we break up, we'll say, New York State into chunks. So we have our Western New York division. We're our Western New York branch. We have our Central New York branch, and then we have our Eastern New York branch here at Paulson Spa. So, you know, we work with a wide ranging, wide variety of different clients throughout the state, and every, we'll say, region is very different in its own respect. But for the most part, everybody has, we'll say, similar issues, similar problems that we can, you know, educate and find that solution, because we most likely used it in another, you know, client's mm-hmm. building, school district, municipality. You know, a lot of our collective problems are felt throughout the state, and maybe all of us individually kind of see those problems. But the more we communicate, the more we talk within these regions, I think we can really kind of hone in on the fact that we all have kind of the similar problem. It's just different than maybe 1-2%, depending on the region.
And you're the initial point of contact for people, and then you bring in technicians or analysts to do the actual plan?
So I oversee our account management team out of our branch. So we have our account management team that's mainly focused on the client-facing side of the business. And then we have our entire service team with, I think we're at roughly 26 union technicians right now. We have graphics engineers, graphic designers, regular engineers, and our, you know, management teams and different facets of, let's say, the organization kind of spread throughout our branch and then other branches. So, you know, not only does our account managers work with the client, but we're also bringing in, like you said, our service teams, our technicians, our engineers to look at these facilities. We also work with design engineers, architects and engineers for different sites that we work on, and we collaborate with them on a regular basis. Is there also support in the regions as an integrator, as a solution provider? We can also work with not only the architect engineer, but the client to get a full encompassing solution that's going to, you know, help them long term.
So you provide the plan and you can also implement the plan.
Correct.
And you can bring in the equipment and everything that's needed.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So it's a
whole, and I think that's what we've kind of pride ourselves on.
The whole solution, you do the whole picture.
Correct. A full holistic integrator from the planning process to the execution phase to the servicing long term. And we want to be that partner to help our clients long term. And I think knowing that not only individuals like myself, my team and our team are laser focused on making sure that our clients have what they need, we call them back. It's a very big, important thing I stress to our team. And I think as an organization, we stress. One of the biggest challenges I had as a facility operator was dealing with calling multiple vendors back. And it was a little daunting because obviously as a region, we only have select talent in the region that we can pull from, especially regionally. So knowing that you have a partner with you, walking alongside you, that's going to be there with you from start to finish, call them up at any time, deal with an issue as they present it or as they come up, and then also provide solutions long-term and be that person for them.
So StarkTech is based in the western part of the state?
Yes.
But you've brought the whole presence here to the eastern part of the state. So you've got good coverage and you're dealing with a lot of clients here now?
Correct. No, as formally as Technical Building Services, we already had a client base within the region that we were already supporting. With StarkTech kind of operating and acquiring this in 2021, I think they provided the horsepower that we needed to get us on the more complex front of complex solutions. You know, obviously we had plenty of solutions that we were working with, but now utilizing, let's say, protective solutions, access control, security, finding ways to integrate that into a building with, let's say, a building management system, an energy management system, and the expertise, because not only do we have the expertise in our branch here, but we also have expertise spanning throughout the entire state and all of our branches. And we also operate in Florida, so we have our staff and personnel down in Florida that also provide some added support. So collectively, we're fairly powerful in what we can do, which is great because that gives us the capacity to work on more complex projects.
It may not always be about financial savings. It may just be about better performance, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, and the biggest thing too, is, you know, from a facility standpoint is, you know, preventative maintenance, you know, you look at your house, for example, you've got most likely a furnace or an air house, something small that serves your residential house. If you're not maintaining that, just like you don't change the oil in your car, well, overall, you're going to probably be spending more money in the gas tank than you are anything else. But if you're spending the time and investing in the equipment and the assets that are in your facilities, your overall spend is going to decrease. And obviously, from an energy standpoint, if you're doing the proper preventative maintenance, most likely your energy cost is going to be down and the cost to operate that equipment is also going to stay within a reasonable amount. So, you know, it again varies based on the facilities, and each facility could have newer or aging infrastructure. And it's just making sure we do the proper assessment to see where our clients sit and then where we can take them long term.
Do you see any future trends or new technology or things in regulations that are going to impact people going forward?
Well, I think we talked about it once already with the elimination of gas. Obviously, that's on the new building side. But I think overall, the North Country has many challenges from, let's say, a energy standpoint, from electricity to gas or or diesel. You know, our major metropolitan areas are plentiful in, let's say, natural gas, where our rural areas are more supported by propane. So let's say the North Country schools that are utilizing, let's say, anything outside of natural gas, that's a cause for concern, just because, you know, natural gas is a little bit more plentiful, where, you know, getting a truck out for propane, I unfortunately have it at my house, but it's just, you know, a cause of the North Country of, you know, not having that natural gas supply. But again, finding the best approach regionally. And I think, you know, the gas component is huge. Regulatory from a, let's say, grid resiliency is, I think, one of the biggest things that are front and center and what we're staring down the barrel of right now. You know, I can speak to in the region where I live, you know, we're probably seeing between 4 to 5 power outages a year. And, you know, each power outage comes differently in how it's presented and what the finish line is. And, you know, I've had client facilities that have received a power outage and had a rare power surge and took out multiple pieces of equipment.
No.
So I think, you know, as we move into the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years, how can we strengthen our buildings? How can we find a way to make it more efficient, but how can we make them more strengthened, resilient, and efficient over time is going to be probably the biggest thing that we're looking at right now. And what are the systems that we can put in place to do that? And obviously staffing, you know, there's a lot of challenges for a lot of people from a business standpoint. And I think if we can hone in on making sure the building is resilient, then let's say business owners can focus on what they do best, which is running their business, could be teachers, making sure that classroom is attentive and comfortable so they can focus on learning. And I think if we can focus on that as we are in our organization, I think we're going to be better off in the decade to come.
Absolutely. So you work with business owners, facility managers, architects, as you mentioned, maybe builders. Are there any other types of individuals that, say, maybe should be thinking about giving you a call?
So we work with pretty much any HVAC company within the area. Obviously, we also have a mechanical side of the business as well. So not only are we a mechanical company, but we also work with other mechanical companies. Because again, we're stronger as a collective than we are singularly. So there's plenty of business to go around in the region. So working with different, let's say, electricians, mechanical companies, architect engineering firms, to not only educate them on our world and the industry that we support, will ultimately make those other businesses stronger. And vice versa, you know, if we can all kind of work together as a collective to move forward in the right direction, I think we're going to be better. And stronger in numbers.
So what's the best way for someone to get started with you?
Pick up the phone. You know, pick up the phone, reach out to us, let us know what we can do. Or I guess, you know, going back to what we said earlier, what is something that you're looking to solve? And what can we do to find that? Let's research into it. Let's find best approach forward for that problem and hope it, you know, fits within the budget that they have at that time. But we can also, I think the other thing we are adaptive to is the different incentives, rebates, and grants that are available that we can help those businesses.
It's a win-win situation if somebody wants to give you a call and get started.
I agree.
All right. I'll have all the details in the show notes so people can find out how to get in touch with you.
Great. At the end of the day, you know, Stark Tech's success is tied to our client's success. You know, if we're not ensuring that our clients are successful, we're not doing our job right. And I think, you know, when schools, hospitals, you know, the different varying clients that we support are efficient, they're showing savings, we've done our job right. So as long as we continue on that path, we'll be successful.
That's a perfect way to end. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, Keep building your success story.